We get the wrong thing, man. We make it all about us and what we can get from something instead of what we can give to something. This is solid. It's really good and solid. I feel it in my heart.
It makes me born again. I feel like going and getting baptized. It just feels like new life to me.
You know why I talk like this and teach like this? Because of what I'm trying to read. I haven't made it very far. Do you understand that everything I'm sharing this morning is to give you understanding in arenas and areas of our life that are prevalent to every one of us? I'm not talking in riddles, parables. My speech is very clear. You can easily hear and understand what I'm communicating this morning. So that lack of, that father thing, that I'm back on this again because it keeps coming to me. God's the greatest father. I was sitting in my chair one day in my office when I was full-time pastor and I'm leaning back and he said, Dan, don't always put it on the fathers. I'm the greatest father there ever will be. And not everyone's running to my lap to sit. And it's no reflection of me. He said, people make choices. People have desires. I tempt no man. Let it be said that I tempt no man. And since tempt no man to sin. Man is only tempted when he's drawn away by his own desire. You can't say, well, I wouldn't feel this way if they wouldn't keep treating me. Well, if they wouldn't this, I wouldn't be. Their justifications and excuses to remain in the flesh, assuring tomorrow is always yesterday. Stop making someone else's life your reason for where you're at when you sing Jesus is Lord. To Lord means to govern, supreme, the supreme influence, the ruling factor of your life, the Lord. So you're going to say, well, I know I'm not where I should be, but you don't know what I've been going through. That's rationale. That's common knowledge. People say that stuff all the time and buy into it and sell cheap when they're not for sale. It's not because they're evil. They're misunderstanding. They don't have what we're talking about. They don't have the wisdom of God and truth making them free. Because when you get what I'm saying, nobody ever get. I don't care if it's a pastor you're looking up to and you found he was sleeping with somebody else's wife and that thing tries to rock you and get you to shipwreck. Why? Because one man was found in weakness? What's that have anything to do with Christ? It should sober you and make you walk all the straighter. It should make you say, wow, if that happened to him, that startles me. I'm going to keep my face to the Lord. I'm going to get my hands on the plow. I ain't looking back. This thing sobers me, doesn't wreck me. I'm going after the Lord because I don't want that in my resume or my testimony. To have a good name is to be treasured more than any fine gold or silver. Yeah? Yeah. Come on. I sit with countless people on airplanes, get talking. They ask me how I'm doing. That's a good question. Don't ask me that if you're not serious. So how are you doing, man? Yeah, I'm okay, man. Hanging in there. Just hoping this flight's on time. That's not what I tell them. First of all, I'm like, really? They just asked me how I'm doing? It's like I'm a human pool cord doll. How are you doing? How do you Only the cord's a lot longer than that. How are you doing, man? I'm telling you, man. But you know what happens? They go, whoa, you're really serious. Whoa, you're really passionate. I say, man, you have no idea. I'm trying to play it cool. Do you see passion in me? Passion, dude, whoa. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm trying to minimize that, not just to not freak you out. I don't want to send a wrong impression. I am 10 times more on the inside than what you see. Because he changed my life. And he this and he that. So where are you with him? Come on, tell me you love him. And they'll be like, well, you know, I mean, I go to church, or I used to go to church, or I got my belief system. And I'm like, whoa. One lady said, well, I have my belief system. I said, honey, that's tragic. She said, excuse me? We're right on the plane. Excuse me? I said, honey, a belief system, are you kidding me? I said, you've left your heart get hurt by people that represent him or say they do. And you've pulled back and disconnected. And now you've settled with a belief system that has you totally estranged from the beauty of who he is. You're hiding behind hurt, a phrase covering hurt. She's like, you got all of that out of what I said about a belief system? I said, it's true, every word. Tell me it's not. Well, it is. And I said two more things, and she was crying off the hook on the plane. Woo-hoo! She's crying the second time. Woo-hoo! Flight attendant comes back. Excuse me, ma'am. Looks at me with a glare. It's true. Says, it's just like this right here. Woo! You're just sitting there just like that. Right there is what I was doing. She came and said, excuse me, ma'am. Looked over at me like, I'm going to move your seat. I have a seat up here. I need to move. And she said, no, no, it's okay. No, I don't want to move. She said, well, it looks like you need to move your seat. She looked at me again. I didn't say anything to her. I wasn't going to defend nothing. I was just going to let it play out. So she said, well, if you're sure. And she said, no, I'm fine. She gets all settled down. Calm down. And I thought, Lord, this isn't even funny. Because it was like he did it on purpose. She got all settled down. I looked at her, Pastor, and I said, listen, I know you just got calmed down, but I need to say this to you. She said, what? I said, Crohn's disease is no match for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now watch. She never told me she had Crohn's. We didn't even talk. She just said she had a belief system. I went, bam. And she went, bah, bam, bam. The Lord said, you could say that to 1,000 people and they look at you cockeyed like, what? But not this lady. I said, Crohn's disease is no match. I looked at right now, but Crohn's disease is no match. And she went, what? That flight attendant went. She come right down the aisle. And she said, that's it. She said, I am moving your seat. You come with me. She's pulling her arm. The lady hooks my arm. Lays her head tight against my shoulder, clings to me, and says, no, you don't understand. He's helping me. That's just one little story on an airplane. I've had fun. I've had as many as 4 people stop me on the jetway. Trembling for prayer because of the plane ride. Wow. I've had people waiting for their gate check bags, and all of a sudden it turns into a prayer thing because of somebody that got wrecked sitting beside me. Wow, you get communicating. The reason I start telling you this story is because so many people are hiding behind the cliched phrase, well, I used to go to church, and they're letting hurt church experience, hurt from the church experience they had when they were young, define who God is in their life. And they've been reduced to a confession instead of a relationship that's viable and life-changing. And I expose that, I address that, and they almost always cry because they know it's true and inside their heart's crying out for something real.
So guess what you do? You give them something real. You're like, Jesus, Sandy, Jesus. And he just comes. I'm just telling you, it's just fun. So don't you let where people aren't determine where you are. And don't you let what people don't see determine what you do see. And don't ever let sin against you give the right to produce sin in you. You overcome evil with good. You tone down a harsh word with a kind word. You let mercy triumph over judgment and let love cover a multitude of sin. I read this book. And it's all there. It just makes sense to my heart. Amen? Yeah. Want to read Proverbs 4 now? We could try. I so thought we were going to teach Colossians 3 and communion and prayer and I didn't even go. Can you tell I just get directed? Like I get up here and I don't even know where I'm going. I'm on a journey with you.
Like people say, how do you prepare? I don't. The Lord told me to never read my Bible to preach. He told me that 20 years ago. I was 3 days saved. I'm going to give you revelations of love and righteousness. You're going to speak to many of my people. I'm going to speak to many of them. It's all right. I won't lay hands on anybody with that hand. He just sucked his thumb. He's 53. He's sucking his thumb.
I saw your face. It was horrified. You were like, really? Like, serious?
That was in his mouth.
It was years and years ago.
Yeah. Tastes different now. I won't lay hands on anyone with this hand. You're like,
I think you have a demon spirit.
They're running from the Holy Ghost. No, they just don't want you to touch them with that thumb. Three days saved in the Lord. He said, I'm going to give you revelations of my love and righteousness. You're going to speak to many of my people. However, I don't ever want you to read your Bible to preach a sermon. He said, I only ever want you to read your Bible to know me and only ever speak out of who I am in your life. And in time, he gave me understanding that each seed produces after its own kind. Seed time, harvest time is first law in your Bible. If I study my Bible, I can stimulate your intellect and your knowledge. But if I become this thing, I can speak it into your heart. And if I speak it from revelation, Demetrius, if it's who I've become and what I've enjoyed, that's why there's so much passion in me. That's why I can't do anything about my expression. I'm a pretty good jacket wearer, a pretty good actor if this is all just put on to entertain you. No, I can't. I get this way in the car. I get this way when we're talking in the couch, right? It's just him. You're not trying to overwhelm people, but you get excited. Because it's life. It's who you. It's us. Watch this. If I speak from revelation, then the seed that's coming is revelatory. And it goes into that's what Jesus said, be careful how you hear, and he that has ears to hear, let that man hear. Then Demetrius is here hearing, and he's humble, and he's in ministry, and he's chaplain, and he's doing things for the Lord, but he's always learning, always growing, he's always listening for God. And all of a sudden, revelation comes out of someone that has a revelation and is walking in something, and he's sitting there going, Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to grow. Lord, empower me. Lord, make me more effective. Lord, thank you for fulfilling your call in my life. And this is just his heart before the Lord. All of a sudden, that seed goes shoop into the ear, into the heart, because the sower sows the word. And when it's sown, it grows. And it doesn't just grow, but it grows into the biggest herb of the field and brings nest and shade and yeah? So if you minister from just knowledge, you'll stir people's knowledge. You'll make them think. And it's not a bad thing. But if you'll speak from a place of revelation, remember Jesus spoke and they said, didn't our hearts burn when he was speaking? Yeah. I get some cool testimonies from people. They say, I was listening on YouTube and something was so happening in my heart. I felt like my heart was filling up. I felt like my heart was going to explode. I felt like it was going inside me. And I'm like, it was. Why? Because it's going right for the heart, not the mind. It's with the heart a man believes, not a mind. Doesn't say with the mind a man believes, with the heart a man believes. You want your heart so filled with who he is. Yeah? So if I speak to you from revelation, it has the ability and power of God to produce the same thing that it's coming from. And bring life and impart to the hearer. Amen? Yay. So I tell people, you don't know the word until you become the word. You can quote it your whole life and not know him. I've seen people that know the word in and out and can quote every scripture, and they're actually mean in their disposition and mad. And they hurt people with their Bible knowledge because they've never allowed their heart to be transformed by his love. Yeah. Give attention to no understanding. You think about what I'm trying to read to you guys and everything I shared this morning and all the I got into some nitty gritty stuff. I got into some real people stuff today. This was real pastoral.
It's good.
It just felt right. I just got there, man. I didn't even know where I was at, but I knew where I was at, but I didn't know how I got there. I just got there. And I was like, whoa, it just felt happy in my heart. But it was all to give us what? Understanding. And I know there was a lot there, and we talked about a lot of scenarios and people, but we gave practical examples and real people issues that every one of us in the room could relate to. This wasn't some far-out teaching today that we couldn't relate to. It was people stuff. It was stuff we could all relate to in our own lives and the lives of our friends. Especially as leaders and pastors, we've all been in the middle of these kind of scenarios that I explained today and used practical examples and told stories. It's one of those things that you'd go back and listen to and just stay sharp in and continue in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Watch this. Give attention to no understanding. Remember yesterday? We grew up with a phrase in our lives, what you don't know won't. The Bible says men are being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He says, in all you're getting, get understanding. It must be important to see. What you don't know won't hurt you has to be a lie. If he said, give attention to understanding. How about this one? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but if you don't have the truth in you, words are devastating you. The power of death and life is in words. So we're minimizing a truth. We're taking away a scriptural truth in that phrase, as if words never hurt you, when words are fashioning your life. If you don't have a secure life. If you're not secure in Christ, words are fashioning you. And the words that are spoken are making you broken, introverted, or a fighter. Depending on your personality and the way you handle things. People mock you, you become broken and a shut-in. Or you become a fighter. And you become hard and you look like a winner to men because they drove you to that place. And then because it looks like victorious, it looks strong, then people honor and esteem that position and they want to follow after you when all you are is a hard, hurting heart. It's on my mind. I'm just going to seal this thing up before we read this. Last night, I talked to you about Adam and fall in an image, if you were here. And that God made man in his image. And the image of God is love. And when man ate the tree, everything that he was made to be was lost and died. But God never lost sight of that truth. So he sent his son to redeem and restore that truth, to save that which was lost. Not who, right? We covered all that. Here's what I want you to understand. Man was made for the image of God. That means man was put on the earth to love. Because God is love. Now watch. When man ate the tree and that died, guess what he became? Cut off and bankrupt and in desperate need of love. Before sin, he was love. He wasn't just loved by God, he was love. He was the love of God. He was the glory of God revealed on the earth. Psalms 8, Hebrews 2. True? He's crowning glory in creation. Come on, do you get this? I didn't clarify this strong last night. It's in my heart right now. Man was made to love. Man apart from God is in need of love. Cut off. We get grafted back in, hooked back up to the vine. We're the branch that bears the fruit. So the Christian life is the restoration back to love. Before Christ, we were all in need of love. We were born into Adam. You must be born again. That's why every one of us needed attention, esteem, to feel valued and be honored from little up. As long as you can remember, you were looking for reputation. You wanted to fit in and not be out. You wanted to know that your life was worth something. And even when people said it was, you had a hard time believing it because you were sure you weren't that important. Come on. Why? Because when man ate the tree, what he was created to be was lost, and he became what sin made him, apart from God, bankrupt of love. We've made the gospel all about God loves you, God loves you, God loving you, God loves you. Hey, we love you. We love trying to fulfill the deficit of your need of love. No, God wants to take that away. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. It's the restoration back to the beginning where now I'm a Christian and Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm not here to be loved by you. I love you. There's a difference. If I'm here to be loved by you, I could just as well be hurt by you. Disappointed. Now we're working hand in hand in ministry and I don't agree with you and now we have issues. Instead of kingdom. And all of a sudden I want my vision fulfilled so bad that I'm power playing you to help the boat to float. And because you won't help me, now I'm let down and you broke my heart. And I thought you were with me, not against me, for me, not against me, with me, not scattering. And now I'm quoting scripture to justify my own needs. And yeah. This stuff has happened over and over and over among us. We've used each other, manipulated each other, because we haven't been taught from the beginning when we came into this thing that the reason you're getting born again is to become love, not need love. The love of God comes to make you the very same thing. The forgiveness of God comes to make you the very same thing. The mercy of God comes to make you the very same thing. He said, you be merciful, for I am merciful. He said, you want to be forgiven of everything you've ever done and plead to me for forgiving that debt, and then I forgive you and you won't forgive your brother? Matthew 18, it's an evil servant who's lost in darkness and bound. A man that wants forgiven of everything he's ever done and doesn't want to become forgiveness is missing the whole point. So the church says, well, give me time. I'm trying to forgive. These things take time, brother. Who says the fall of man taught you that? Why do we have such a grid for unforgiveness? Because we grew up with it. And men have owed us from the time we can remember. And we have assumed rights through Adam that need to die through the born again experience. So get in the waters already. Yeah, I'm itching to baptize somebody, man. I'll get you to help me, buddy. Push on their chest. Get the bubbles out, man. I'm telling you, wait 40 seconds after that last bubble, you got them, man. No more jerking, pushing. Then you better have faith. Pull them out. New life, Jesus. I was in North Pennsylvania. I was teaching that baptism thing, and I said that as a joke, but I didn't laugh. I just said it thinking everybody knew it was a joke. People were kind of giggling, but I stayed so serious. People were like, I wonder if he's just really in faith and does that. I got an email. Is that a pulpit joke, or do you really do that? Because you seemed serious when you shared that. And I had my girl at church emailing back and say, listen, it's just a pulpit joke. But this young boy came up, a spontaneous baptism in Warren, PA. A whole bunch of people were getting baptized. When Americans are getting baptized in service driving home wet, I feel like that's a move of God. When you take them out of convenience and comfort, and they're just moved, and they're just, I need to give my life. Well, you don't have any change of clothes. Who cares? I want new clothes. Garments of salvation. They get in their car. You know, it's just, I just love it. America. They were coming up, getting baptized, and it was powerful. And this 17-year-old, he come walking across. The more he got closer to, it was an old hot tub they used for a baptismal. There's a lot of places to sit and lounge. It's a hot tub. You only have really have one good option to baptize and submerge a person because of the way they're laid out. So we were putting them all in this certain way, sitting them, and he gets over, and I said, what's going on with you, man?
Just done, man. I'm ready to give it all. I'm ready to die, just like you're saying, man. I'm done messing around. I'm just surrendering it. I'm
like, come on, man. Let's get you in here. I can't take it. We got him in. We prayed over him. Everybody's praying. We put him under, and he slides over when we put him under, and his shoulder's sticking out on the hump where you sit or lean. His shoulder won't go under. And I didn't want anybody looking, thinking, that shoulder's unsanctified. He's 90% new creation. But I see the old man. That arm's going to lead him astray. He's going to do something with that arm that ain't good, because it didn't go under. I just know how folks think. I didn't want him thinking that. Like, well, you know, no wonder I did this with this arm. Maybe I should cut it off because it didn't get baptized, you know. So me and the pastor, I said, get his shoulder under, man. I don't want it sticking out. I just want him under just for conscience sake. So when pastor pushed him over, he was under there an extra second, 2 seconds longer than normal. And as pastor's pushing him, I'm sliding him, and we're putting pressure on him to get his body under, I feel him start coming back. And he's pushing. And I'm like, what? So we shoved him under, brought him out, and he come up like this. Now, he was only under 2.5 seconds. It was just a little longer than normal. And I said, are you okay? He said, yeah. And I went, you thought I was serious. You thought we were. He said, I thought this guy ain't playing. He said, I thought you were serious. And I thought you were joking. But I thought, when you held me up, I said, he's serious. I ain't ready for this. I ain't in faith for this. And he started to try to come up. And we pushed him under. I said, I probably better be careful and make sure everybody knows I'm joking. I said, now that we've just ruined your baptism experience, do we need to double dip you? I mean, we need to. So we took care of it. He thought we were drowning him. It was hilarious. His eyes were that. But there is a principle we can't forget. Listen, guys, we're not just trying to get them to repeat our prayer. They're giving their life back to Him because they were never made for themselves. They're giving what was never theirs back to Him. The only thing Jesus is asking us to give is what was never us in the first place. You're giving back everything you became through the fall. Why do you covet what was never yours? Why do you covet what you were used to and trained by when you see the truth should make us free? The biggest trap in our lives is believing what we grew up with is normal, the way we were thinking is normal, that everybody's in that boat. No, you're called to be sanctified in the world, not of the world. You're called out of darkness into the light. Guys, you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, never again conformed to the world, transformed by thinking different than ever before. The gospel's always been about new life and transformation. We've made it about heaven someday and blessings and provision. Please don't teach people another gospel. Teach people the way. Teach them that their biggest problem in life is not other people. It's living for themselves. Being high-minded. Comparing yourselves among yourselves. Living self-righteous and looking down on folks. Limiting groupings of people and making them less than others. It's the biggest lie on the planet. When of one blood He made all nations and shed His blood for every man. If every man has the price tag of the blood of Jesus, every man has the same value. That's why suicide is the biggest tragedy of all. Because a man's taking what's not his. That's the deception. The devil's trying to get them to take what's not theirs so they never become what they're created for. So he's trying to rob destiny. He's not on a personal agenda. He's not on a personal vendetta just trying to kill people. He's trying to stop the kingdom of God. We've got to get that, church, and stop taking affliction personal. Stop taking trials personal. Stop taking hardships personal. The word's preached and Satan immediately comes for the word's sake, not your sake. He could care less about you. He just knows you have the potential of His image. And if you ever see what He knows, He's toast. So He wants to distract you and keep your eyes on you and stop thinking for the kingdom. But if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. Come on. Don't you take life personal, you take Him personal. Take the gospel personal. And don't you ever let life speak louder than truth. Yeah? Come on, guys. This is why we're saved. This will make a difference in our everyday life. It'll make a difference in how you see people. It'll make a difference on your attitude on the job. I haven't even really talked about that a lot because I'm laying such a foundation so that you live from an eye that's full of light. Because if you walk in the light as He's in the light, you have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all sin. Yeah? And all of a sudden your life is an impact. And you're not just a confessing Christian. You're a shining light. You're not just a confessing Christian that goes to church. You're a person that loves. And all of a sudden you take interest in others. And one day you might just step across the line of your own uncomfortable feelings. And you might say, hey, excuse me. You look like you're going through a lot. Are you in a real trial right now? Is there something we can pray about? Come on, guys. We can all do that. You see people out there hurting. You hear people talking about their pain. You see people in physical duress. It doesn't take long to live outside here and see somebody in need. And to believe that you're on the planet to step into their life and minister love and bring Jesus into that situation is a big deal. You just be pumping gas. Hey, man. Man, that 185 looks good, huh? That's awesome. Yeah, man. Yeah, I tell you. Hey, I wanted to ask you, how you doing today? You having an all right day? Well, people don't think, why is he asking? They'll just go right into telling you how they feel, what's going on. Well, I was, man, until... They might just say, well, you know, I'm a little nervous, man. In 2 hours, I got to go get a checkup. They're concerned. They think I might have some cancer thing going on. And he's like, boy, I'm glad I got involved and asked them about their life. Listen, man, you heading for an appointment in 2 hours? How you handling that, bud? I mean, well, it got me shook up, man. I've been checking it out on the internet. I've been on the WebMedic and stuff, and it's been looking. It looks like a lot of my symptoms is what they're concerned about. I'm just, yeah, I'm afraid. I'm a little unsettled. Listen, man, are you a believer? You got any faith in God? I mean, well, I can't tell you I'm a Christian or nothing. No. I was about ready to pray about this, though, man. You know, you'd just be amazed how conversations will unfold. But you got to make it happen. You just got to get involved. You just scratch a little. You just knock. Do something. Just, hey, man, how you doing? You just initiate. You don't be all caught up in yourself and afraid to speak and what are they going to think of me? You're dead, remember? Do we need to do a baptism? I've had so many of these little encounters, and the next thing you know, you say, well, listen, man, I know you got to run probably and I got to run, but reach out your hand here, man. What's up? Now, come on, man. Give me your hand. Father, I thank you for your unstoppable love for this man. Body, you be whole, you be healed. Father, I thank you. When they look at his test results, he does not hear out of their mouth what he's feared. God, let your love be upon him. Body, you be healed. Father, reveal yourself in your great love for this man. In Jesus' name. Now watch. You say, well, didn't you give him a track? Didn't you lead him to the Lord? I just gave him the Lord. You be real careful. They're on to us. They think we're in a marketing group or something. Like everything we do has a string attached to it. And we're trying to slide in. We're giving them water so we can pray for them on a hot day at the parade. We're not giving them water because they're thirsty. We're giving them water so we can try to lead them to the Lord. We think that's Christian. That's a marketing tool. The water's solicitation and marketing to them. They don't even think you care. They think you're just doing what Christians are supposed to do. Wow. If all you're doing is organized ministry mentality, stuff like that, the edge is rarely is the edge sharp. Because they're onto us. They think we're just doing Christian stuff. They think you're just trying to get them to believe what you believe. But when you do that at the gas pump, and you turn and get back in your car, and you don't hand them a card, you don't solicit nothing, you just get in your car, you've just caused them to have to deal with what they just experienced. Think about it and come to a knowledge of truth. You just invited Holy Spirit into their life through that seed you just sowed. You get in the car and they're looking at you, and until you walk away, they don't even relax till you walk away because they're still waiting for a punchline. I'm serious. They're still waiting for the catch, but there is none. I love you. And all of a sudden they get in their car and they're like, man, that's crazy. It's like they just cared about me. There was nothing else to it. They didn't invite me to no church. They didn't try to get me to go to conference. They didn't try to hand me a tract, get me to pray. It's almost like they cared. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes in their car. It's down, and he says, I've cared for you from the beginning. And now they're having an encounter with God and crying, and you just sowed a seed, or you watered what was already sown, and the mighty Spirit of God has come and brought increase. And some reap where they haven't even sown, and some reap where they haven't even labored, but we all rejoice together because he is faithful and he loves. You think you reap because you're great evangelists. No, you reap because somebody sowed. Read your Bible. Somebody reaps, and now we hold a conference and call them an evangelist. Because then they tell their story for the next 15 years of how they reap. And it might be because somebody sowed. You might have just touched them at the right time. Man, you could walk up to somebody and say, hey, man, can I pray with you? You look, you're hurting. Get the blank away from me. Who are you to solicit your faith to me? Get away. You're an offense to me, man. I don't even believe in God. Get out of here, man. And you're like, if you're not careful, man, what did I do wrong? I have to brush up on my approach. You didn't do anything wrong. It's where his heart is. It's just a reflection of where he is. You didn't do anything wrong. Don't get insecure. Don't change up and get into methods and stuff. Stay real. Stay genuine. Because Demetrius can walk right up to that next man a couple days later. God could align that thing right here in your community. And Demetrius could say, hey, man, you got my attention, man. You look like you was really hurting. And tell me, what? So you want to pray for me or what? Well, I was hoping. What is this with you blanking Christians? Some guy a week ago just said he wanted to pray for me. Now you're coming up walking to me. Mind your own blanking business, man. Get away from me. I don't believe in God.
We're at the same conference.
Yeah. And Demetrius walks away and says, God, I just thank you for that man and I just thank you for loving him. Rather than, man, I sure ain't doing something right. Wonder what I did to trigger that. You didn't do anything. Martha, Martha, you're encumbered about by... What was he saying? Mary is not your problem. So guess what? Richard comes along. 2 weeks later. God can do this stuff. Sowing, watering.
You say, brother, it didn't look like I sowed nothing. I ticked the dude off.
No, you created awareness. You started something.
Wow.
God went, psst. God just went, psst. Demetrius comes along. He says, brother, I don't know. I look like I threw some wrong gas on some wrong fire. Nope. God just went, psst, psst, psst. Hey, psst. Richard comes along. Now we're ready to, Richard's going to have to hold the conference because he reaped. Because he got the wisdom. His hair is a different color. You ain't even got none, man. So you can't have wisdom. What? He sows, he waters, looks like failure. Richard comes along and says, hey, man, are you okay? Do you need help? You look like you're really hurting. Is that down through your back? What is it? Man, why are you asking me? Don't tell me you want to pray for me. I've lived my whole life. Nobody's ever approached me and asked me for prayer. And in the last month, you're the third blanking person that asked. And you have to be careful when they do that blanking thing. You don't go, oh, God's offended. No, you are. Stop. Just stop. You know, they'll say, well, Jesus. And you'll go, oh. You don't you ever use my Lord's name in vain. And Jesus isn't sitting there going, get him, sick him, her, bite him, her. I promise you, that's you getting way off track. Richard says, well, listen, man, it's amazing. I'm the third person. You're the third blanking person. I want to know what the blank is going on. Well, did you ever consider that if it never happened in your life before and it's three, four-week period that perhaps God really is real and trying to get your attention and really does love you? Listen, sir. And he's just listening. You have nothing to lose. The worst that can happen is nothing if I pray. And if God's not real, then I guess you have to decide if he isn't real or is real. But if I do pray and that thing changes, don't you fear that? That would be a good day. What do you say? Give me your hand, sir. I believe he loves you. And all of a sudden, the guy trembling reaches out his hand. And Richard takes it and they pray. Accosted him. Spewed on him. Points getting across. And God said, cha-ching, love you, sir. What would happen if Richard takes him and the presence of God comes over him and all the sciatic and all the pain leaves? Wow. So maybe they didn't do anything wrong. Maybe we're just walking in love. People are getting located in that. And God's speaking and moving and doing what he does. Better paint those kind of visions or you won't fulfill what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like, what parable should we compare it? For the kingdom of God is as if a man scatters seed. Come on, you're praying people around here. Don't have a heart to just pray for your community. Sow into it. No farmer ever did not plow the fields and plant the seed and wonder why the crops weren't growing. Nobody ever did not go out and till the yard and look out and say, why ain't there no tomatoes? And I wonder where the zucchinis are. Nobody was ever so spiritual that they just believed corn beet. But that's what we do in intercession. Really, all we're doing is corn be. Harvest come. He said, no. The harvest is white. The fields are white. You're the laborer. Get out in that thing. Stop praying for some mysterious move of God. You're the move of God. Stop praying for some mysterious outpouring. You're the outpouring. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Watch this. How can we pray in true faith for some great move of God in Killeen if we haven't even sown into the fields? Now, I'm not saying you haven't, but let's sow into the fields. Isaiah 61 says it like this. As the garden causes the things sown in it to grow, so shall the Lord cause righteousness and praise to spring from the earth. You sow into your community and you can rejoice and expect a harvest of His love and His grace. You start planting into the hearts of men and don't get discouraged. Don't turn inward. Don't make it about you. And you be sincere and you just a little love here, a little love there. You just at the store and the mother's there and she's got two little kids and you look at her and you realize she doesn't have a lot. And you realize, I think she's a single mother. She's faced some kind of hardship. The money's just not there. And it's not that you have a ton, but you have some. And you look at her and you say, hey, honey, wow, that's a lot of groceries feeding the babies. Oh, yeah, I don't know how it's going to work somehow. I mean, we need food and it's been really a tough. Yeah, I was just thinking that. Wow. And all of a sudden the cashier says, that'll be $52.97. She says, oh, wow, that's so much more than I. And she's thinking, what, you know, she's opening up her purse and you just reach around and you just swipe your card. Come on, you can do that if you can do that. You ought to think that way. All of a sudden she's like, what did you just... It's okay, honey. I swiped it. I wanted to. I just want you encouraged. I love you. You don't even know me. Oh, I do. You were predestined before time. Life comes from God and here you stand. Your life has to be His will. I just wanted to bless you, honey. I can tell you've been challenged in the finances. And God's just telling you through this, be encouraged. Don't lose heart. Start praying like never before, believing for His goodness to come upon your life. Well, I'm just going to believe it. Well, you ought to believe it because it's Jesus. It's what He does. And I usually tell them this. You know, a long time ago, I believed that going to church was Christianity. I used to really believe that, honey. But Jesus taught me it's loving people. Thanks for letting me love you. By then, they're toast. I promise you. Their kids are hugging you. Because they know something good's happening because they see mommy's tears are good. I'm just telling you, we can live this way. We can sow into our communities and we can reap the harvest and return of God's righteousness and grace. Come on. We don't have to pray them into the kingdom. We love them into the kingdom. And there's a lot of ways to love. You know, just walking in the mall and the young girl's coming out. I use it all the time as an example because I never even, it was just, we call them drive-bys. Holy Ghost drive-bys. That's what we call them. I got a shop. I'm going in the mall and she's coming out the door. She's, I'm guessing, 20. She comes out the door and I go, it's kind of like that Holy Spirit thing. Like, and it's not her perfume. And you're like, honey, hey. And she's like, yes. She doesn't know me. She's standing down. She's a young girl. Honey, hey, look here. Huh? What? Don't you believe lies and don't you do anything foolish. Honey, you have so much value in your life. Come on, you've been raised in the heritage in the Lord. It's time to get your eyes back on truth. Throw those things out of you. Stop. Don't you dare do anything foolish. Your life's amazing to Him. Have a good day. And you walk right in the mall. And she's just going to her car. Why? because she's thinking suicide and her life's not worth living, and you knew it in your heart. Well, you didn't pray with her? You didn't lay hands on her? You didn't cast the devil out of her? No, I gave her truth. Truth's going to make her free. God called her out. Bam. It's enough. Sometimes it's overkill. We get too involved. Just go bam. And just walk in the mall. This was my day in the mall. It's just that day, that same day. Turn, I'm walking in. Two precious black ladies, mom and daughter, are coming down the steps. I'm going up the steps. Honey, hey girl, yes? I know this might sound weird to you, but when I walked by you, this overwhelming sense of God's love for you just came over me. She said, what? I said, when you woke up this morning, you were carrying this concern, you've had this fear, and you've been saying in your heart, she's grabbing her daughter. Her daughter's going like this, and she said, do you hear this, man? Do you hear what he just said to you? Because they're talking about it in the mall. And God goes, wham, pap, bam, love you. I'm just going to buy something at Bass Pro Shop. I just want to go get a fishing lure because I was going to bless it and believe it worked. And no fish ever ate that thing. You know, it's flying through the air. Jesus! Just believe in God, man. So you're walking through the wall and that happens. And you say, I just want to pray for you and bless you. This lady, she wasn't even thinking Jesus. She probably has a little church background, but she was a little thrown by me. She went into charismatic. She's like, whoa, God. She's getting all touched. So then you go in, you get your little Bass Pro thing, and you're coming back out. Two other girls are walking on the other side. Hey, girl. Just yelled right across the mall. Hey, girl. Listen, I know you've been concerned about this and this. Don't let that concern you. God's saying, get your eyes on Him. He'll walk you through everything. He'll give you the wisdom you need. Who are you? Why, are you psychic? Well, kind of, but not really. And then you slide over for the kill. No. You just slide over and you say, hey, and you let them meet you and see you're for real. And you say, no, it's just somebody that cares. Jesus changed my life, honey. And when I was walking down the mall, I looked over and I got those couple impressions. They're true, aren't they? I was just telling her, because that's crazy. You can know that. Honey, He lives in a Christian. He wants to live in you. He'll show you things. He's amazing. He's a loving God. I hear this, honey. It's time to fix your eyes. And she just starts bawling. Why? She grew up in the church. And now she's in her 20s. And she's just living life. And life's coming and going. And now God's saying, halt. Whoa. Hey. Yoo-hoo. Love you. And he just, just got her to put on the brakes right in the middle of it all. He said, remember me. I love you. That's evangelism. You say, well, did you lead him to the Lord? Stop that religious thing. I gave her the Lord. We think it's not legal till you get him to quote your prayer. Come on. All she has to do is go open her heart. Wow, God. Go home and sit on her bed and cry and say, Lord, man, I'm just coming to you. That was crazy today. You love me in His presence. Come on. Why do we think quoting our prayer that we came up with about 80 years ago is the answer? It's loving them and giving them a viable Jesus. I'm not against tracts, not against the Roman road, and I'm not against praying the sinner's prayer. But let's not make it about going to heaven someday. Let's make it about God loves you through the love in our lives. Not the doctrine in our mouths. Are you guys good? I'm 10 minutes late. Ah! I'm going to pray. I'm just going to give you a 5 to 7 minute break, an hour in, and I don't know where those 2 hours went, but I had fun. You look like you were all right. You know, I don't see anybody like needing to go to the bathroom, sitting there rocking. I was in a conference. I thought I was preaching so good that the power of God was on people. I've seen them sitting there like... It's because I preached almost 3 hours and they all had to pee. I said, how many of you got to go to the bathroom? And the reason they wouldn't leave is because the lady was leaving and it was 1,500 people. I said, hey, is it my preaching? She went, and all the heads. I said, God is wise. Is it my preaching? She said, the double door's leaving. It's not my preaching. And everybody's like looking at her like, what's he doing to her? I said, are you born again? She said, I said, good, then you can't lie. Is it my preaching? She said, no. I said, good, go, have a great day. I just kept preaching. And everybody's like, what did he do to that poor woman? And I didn't even know what I was doing. But I preached forever. And no one else. 1,500. No one moved. They sat there. No one moved. God's wise. Towards the end, I realized they're sitting there like this. I thought it was the anointing of God. They just had to go and didn't want to. So I wrapped up and sent them all out. This is just a teaching time. You get something out of this morning? Father, we just ask you for transformation and change, and we just thank you for the blessing on your word, that your word brings life. Your word's never old. It's never stale. It goes out and accomplishes the very thing that you've desired. And Father, we thank you for it. I thank you, God, for an increased conscious awareness of your truth, of your spirit working in us and our surroundings and the value of the people around us. God, I thank you. You're doing something right here in this area. I thank you. You're doing something, God, that time will remember. God, you're doing something that heaven will make note of. We yield to you. We don't want to limit you. Have your way in us and continue to help us to grow secure, confident, and most of all, loving. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen?
Amen.
And amen.